They told the Mexican dictator in Gonzalez, come and take it. When it comes to our guns, Pratt's worried the current threat is from the north side of the Rio Grande. A Texan who understands the function of the Second Amendment. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, well, the legislature passed some very good Second Amendment-related bills. I'm going to go over those with you. But the anti-gun crowd uses their same disproven arguments to attack such, aided by a leftist press. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. Are you hiring? Check for safety with drug testing from Allied Compliance Services. Learn more at AlliedCompliance.com. By the way, these are fantastic folks, been with the show for many, many years, and they do great work. I've heard from their customers many times. Also, local sales tax numbers released by the Comptroller's Office. We'll go over the top 20 and then some other cities in the regions. Lubbock's Protect City Hall insiders move, misspent hot funds in Snyder, Abilene street repair mess, and more on the stench of local government stack. Also, Attorney General Ken Paxton's persecutors, those special prosecutors, and others just won't let up on this political persecution. They're working hard to keep this man from getting his day in court. That's the only reason that it's gone on for so many years. They want it out there as a political sword of Damocles. They don't want to get to court. You know, when they got to court, the other attackers in federal court, the federal court threw the whole damn cases out, a whole bunch of it. Anyway, my friends, we'll get to that and more. We got a big stack today. Listen anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your commute. Get the podcast of today's show at PrattOnTexas.com. You can always listen as it just streams on your data, or you can use your Wi-Fi if you don't want to use data and just download the podcast, have it ready, listen to it when you want to, and that includes while you're on your commute. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan, and it's very hot on the high ground of Texas, and I'll tell you, Heart Heating and AC, one of our official sponsors here in Lubbock, where I happen to sit in the True Texan studio today, Keith Hart, Heart Heating and AC, do fantastic work. And let me tell you, this, what they used to call mini splits, I guess, ductless system I had him put in the studio. Oh my gosh, what an incredible thing. I happen to have this beautiful studio, and I love natural light and outdoors, and I have landscaping outside, and oh, it's very nice. But unfortunately, just the way it is arranged, the hot afternoon sun just beats that wall, and it'll heat the room up. I don't want to cool the whole facility and pay for that when it's 100 degrees outside plus. This thing is fabulous. If you've ever thought about putting one of these for heating and cooling in your, you know, a basement or a studio room or a workshop, I'd been intended to do this for 5 years, finally got around to it last year, and it is one of the best things I've done. In the winter, it was so much better than having a little space heater, and in the this hot weather, it's fantastic. And so thank you, Keith Hart at Hart Heating and AC in Lubbock. They're one of our sponsors, and they just did such great work, and it's really paying off on these super hot days. Man, the studio is fantastically comfortable today. All right, today in Texas history, my good friends, this is a big one for the oil fields. June 9th, 1894. You know, Texas wasn't always a big oil place, and in fact, before World War II and into World War II, California was the great leading supplier. But it was this day, the 9th of June in 1894, that while digging for water, that's right, digging a water well, they accidentally discovered the Corsicana oil field, the first in Texas to produce oil and gas in significant quantities, and really just kicked off the great Texas oil boom that still continues, my friends. During its first century of operation, the field produced about 44 million barrels of oil, helped us win two world wars. And yeah, that's not an understatement, an overstatement. That's true. And so a big, big thing that brought everybody to Texas, my friends. Our Today in Texas History, sponsored by USA Investigations, another bunch of folks that have been with the program on and off for many, many years. They do great work. I had a former customer, big company customer, use them for background checks on employees and stuff, a financial services firm, and said they just did great work. We're so glad to have them back with us. USA Investigations, professional surveillance, witness interviews and statements and more. They'd work all over the state. Investigate for more at usainvestigations.net. That's right. Play on words. Investigate for more at usainvestigations.net. N-E-T. Today in Texas History sponsor. Well, that big Amber Alert you all heard about out of Corpus Christi, the man wanted for murder in Corpus Christi is accused of kidnapping his ex and her one-year-old daughter, KTRK, out of Houston. Had a big report on this, and you've probably gotten the alerts on your phones and things like that. Corpus Christi police, KIII TV in Corpus Christi, say that they've recovered the Cadillac Escalade that was in the description, the white Cadillac Escalade. So they're not in that anymore. They recovered that, but they've had no sign of the suspect or missing mom or daughter. They're looking for these folks. So go check that out. All the media sources have all the details on that. But they have ditched the Escalade and are somewhere else. Woman sentenced for false 911 calls that sparked that fatal drug raid in Houston, that no-knock warrant thing where a dozen current and former police officers tied to this unit have been indicted. You know, you got two of these guys facing trial now for, maybe on murder charges or something. But anyway, the woman who made this 911 call that they used to do this has been sentenced to 3 years and 4 months in federal prison because it was a false call. Supreme Court declined to hear the former Indian Lake police chief's petition. KVOE in the Valley reporting that the court didn't take up his petition. John Chamber, who was a Republican nominee for Cameron County Sheriff in the Valley, requested the Supreme Court to review his case and clear him of a 2016 conviction. It was a tampering with government documents while he was police chief conviction. And boy, he must really believe he got railroaded on that. Took it to the Supreme Court, but they didn't take it up. Lackland Air Force Base, or Joint Base Lackland in San Antonio, been on a lockdown today. They sent out lockdown, active shooter warnings. KSAT got some of the first insider story. It said there wasn't an active shooter on Bates, and no hits were confirmed. There were trainees in the area of the shooting. No injuries reported. Actually, they reported at KSAT that two people were off base when they opened fire near a gate to the base, the Valley High Gate, and then fled the scene on foot. And two women were arrested after a nail salon owner was shot over a price dispute. KPRC reporting this mayhem in Harris County. They claim that police say 21-year-old Joanna Vara was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon after allegedly shooting the 42-year-old owner of a nail salon. Apparently, she and her sister were in there, got services, and came back with a... He was telling them to leave, get out. When they came back, and screaming, yelling about everything, and shot him, shot the owner there with that. So, in a nail salon. I mean, the things... You think these people care whether there are rules about guns? Do you think anybody who's willing to go somewhere, get a gun, and come back and shoot somebody cares whether having the firearm was legal or not? Yeah, we'll get to that in our story on the Second Amendment bills and the tired arguments of the anti-gun crowd. And the governor did sign the law that makes Midwestern State University in Wichita Falls part of the Texas Tech system. Of course, we may have been the first. It wasn't in the state press, but I reported to you that that bill did pass a few weeks ago. So good for them. And Georgia Pacific breaking ground on that $300 million production facility near Sweetwater that we told you about back when it was first announced. And Senator Charles Perry was there. And I think, if I remember right, that Sweetwater's Charles's hometown. He lives in Lubbock now. He said, seize the day. That's what Sweetwater's done with this plant. Senator Perry said it's good stuff for the area and Sweetwater specifically, but the whole region, another $285 million of capital investment there. And, of course, jobs, it'll be their second big wallboard plant there from Georgia Pacific in Sweetwater. So that's great news out of Sweetwater in West Texas. Now, my friends, we've got a lot ahead on the program. Stand by for more on Pride on Texas.
It's the talk of Texas. Pride on Texas.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, They're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
He secretly has a red, white, and blue flag in his closet with the number 1787 scrawled on it. It's Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Let's dive into our stench of local government story. There's more follow-up in the press. This from KRBC by Marley Capper in Abilene. The headline, potential tax rate for road repairs, not likely, or quote, would be very slight. Well, your taxes would go down if they didn't issue new debt. That's what they never tell you. You could actually have these taxes going down as they pay off this debt. Their argument is, of course, as we pay off other debts, that we can just keep adding, you know, more debt in their place and thus not really raise your taxes or only a little bit. That's not the big deal here. I mean, it says in the story, to fix those roads, the city would like to issue a certificate of obligation. In other words, they want to use CO bonds so you don't get to vote on it, which is supposed to be for emergency items. We really don't anticipate it's going to increase the tax rate, said Mike Raines, director of finance at the city. But even if it did, it would be very slight. Of course, that's what everybody tells you in the slight one here, slight one there, death by a thousand cuts. Raines says bond elections are typically for larger projects. No, they were supposed to include everything, Raines. The legislature dealt with this year, but I don't think that bill got through at the end and got killed in all the bill massacre because of mismanagement of time, to stop you people from using certificates of obligation for these things that aren't emergencies. That was created in the 70s for emergencies where there's not time to have a big bond election for projects. It wasn't created for smaller items. But again, the reason I bring this up is you people in Abilene let these people con you into adopting a special tax that everybody else that fixes their roads and their towns aren't paying. You have a fee you're paying now that was supposed to solve this problem, and all of a sudden it's back to, oh, we got to have debt to fix our streets, and we got to, you know, keep that tax rate up or even slightly increase it even more than this fee you're paying. Are you just going to keep allowing this? It's insanity. Well, Robert, they don't have the money. Yeah, they don't have the money because they collect as much as anybody else. They spend it on other things. That simple. And then in City of Lubbock, this group that's mad that they got overruled by the voters by a huge margin on the pro-life ordinance put together a hand-picked charter review committee, and they released their recommendations yesterday at a city council meeting in Lubbock. And it's nothing but a protect City Hall insiders bunch of moves. That's all it is. 100% City Hall protection plan. That's right. Raises the pay for the mayor and city councilman significantly. It ties it to the consumer price index, so it goes up and up and up, with no mention of that, of maybe that in lieu of all the other benefits they get, which they get a lot. I mean, it doesn't pay a lot, but they do have things to offset other costs. But the worst part is they simply want to change the initiative and referendum and recall stuff to make it harder to recall people, make it harder to do a petition, give themselves a lot more time to certify a petition, which all that means is it gives them more time in the city secretary's office to go and try to get these petitions decertified. In other words, it gives them more time to try to sabotage them. That's all. I've been around this a long time. I know what goes on. I mean, I've been on a team trying to keep a petition, you know, other stuff off. The more time you have, the more you can go look up every single thing. And, man, if it's close, go find 13, 14 people and some way disqualify them. But I'm just telling you, this is crazy. And you people in Lubbock, it's just the absolute arrogance that you seem to have become accustomed to and seem to be okay with. It's a direct attack on the citizens' rights. There's no reason for it whatsoever. They're raising the bar to get something by initiative and referendum done so high that almost no one except the major moneyed interests in town could ever afford to do it. And that's all it is. Shame on them. And it's what we would expect from Mayor Pope and this crowd. And then the Snyder News has a big piece out. One of my listeners has been emailing me stuff about it, about how the city, the Chamber of Commerce and Snyder, in a big meeting when being questioned, turns out admits they spent hotel occupancy tax money, hot money, on things that are not legal. They even talked in here to the people that gave them the training on it. And they said, no, that's not legal. You can't pay. What they've done is paid for stuff that wasn't allowable. Now, I will tell you, Pratt on Texas has received some of this money, but everything we got for advertising, you know, White Buffalo Days or the Western Swing Festival, all that, and it's clear in here, was legal. But they went and used it for Christmas decorations and other stuff, and then one of the councilmen talking about how much money you're spending in the meeting, they said they're spending about 50-50 on equally the funds between administration. See, they've been letting their chamber do it, so it's been a big money source for the chamber. 50% on the events and 50 on the things and 50% on administration. Councilman Hickman said other cities he'd researched spent about, I think it says in here, 70% of their funds on the events, with only 30% going to administration. So you got the admitted spending of the hot money, the hotel occupancy tax money, and Snyder illegally admitted to. And you've got sort of another way of doing that too, which is having a really fat, you know, 50% administrative cost burden there, which generally probably means salaries down at the chamber. I'm not saying they're not doing a good job. I think they've been doing a good job with their events. And nobody in this story's questioning that. It's just you can't go spend this money in ways that are illegal. So, you know, the city say maybe we ought to take these back from the chamber and have oversight of them directly by the city council. Maybe that's right. Maybe it's not. It's for them to decide in Snyder. But the real important thing is there is that they admitted to spending it on stuff that it's illegal to spend it on. All right, let's talk about the big income source for cities. The top 20 city sales and use tax comparisons out today. They've put out all the numbers. Houston was up over 30%. Remember, these numbers are going to be massive because we're talking about compared to the same period a year ago when we were in the deepest of the depth of the lockdown. Houston up over 31%, San Antonio up almost 34%, Dallas up almost 50% in sales tax revenue. And of course, remember, they enforced a much stricter lockdown there earlier. Austin up 38%, Fort Worth up 34%, Arlington up 55%, almost 56% in sales tax collection over the same period a year ago. El Paso up almost 40%, Frisco up almost 49%. Round Rock up 34%, Plano up 37%, Amarillo up 28.5%, Lubbock up 35.3%, Corpus Christi up almost 25%, McAllen up 72% over the same period last year, Irving sales tax collections up 25%, McKinney up almost 15%, Grand Prairie up 35%, Conroe up 37%, Midland was up only 3.34%, Sugar Land up 51%, Abilene up 24.8%, Brownwood up almost 16%, Sweetwater up 12.5%, Buffalo Gap up 73%. Snyder is only, there were a few little towns in the oil patch and places that were actually down. Snyder was actually down by 0.06% over the same period a year ago. Plainview was up 17%. Levelland up almost 21%. La Mesa up 8%. San Angelo, capital of the Concho Valley, up 26.5%. What's interesting is in the top 20 list, and that's top 20 amount collected, the biggest sales tax collectors, and then these other cities I always add across our affiliate areas, is that of all of that, the only city that's down year to date for their city government income is Midland. Everybody else is up a lot. You know, it's like Abilene telling you, well, we might have to raise taxes for this or that. Really? Why? You're up 8.45% year to date on sales tax collections over a year ago. In other words, these cities have a lot of extra money in their pockets. Why do they need to raise property taxes? Why can't they lower property taxes to offset? Lubbock's up 11% year to date. This is what we see all the time, and yet they tell you, oh, we're short of money. Every month when this comptroller report comes out, it shows not only the month to, you know, this year compared to last year collection amounts, it also shows the year to date. And most cities are up significantly most of them in double digits. But they still tell you they're broke and need more of your money. Wonder why. Back in a moment on Pride on Texas.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's your Texan-in-Chief, Texas political swami. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. Are you hiring? Check for safety with drug testing. Use Allied Compliance Services. AlliedCompliance.com. The list of gun bills or Second Amendment bills approved by the 87th legislature. Daniel Friend at the Texan doing good work putting this together. Now, we've all heard about the constitutional carry bills, and more on that in a moment. But that's passed after HB 1927, signed by the governor, and goes into effect in September. Most Texans over the age of 21 who can legally possess a handgun will now be able to carry that weapon in public without a license to carry. Okay. That was already legal for everybody for long guns. So the idea that, all of a sudden, they're going to have everybody out shooting people. And plus, you were already legal to carry it in your car if you're legal to own a firearm. You could have a handgun with you. You can have a handgun in any property you control, including your business or office. You could have a handgun in your home and on all your property. Oh, but because now you can carry it between points, you know, legally without a license. Under current law, individuals with or without a license to carry are legally allowed to carry a handgun with them in their vehicles, but it can only be in plain view if it's holstered if you got a license, it has to be holstered if it's in plain view in your vehicle. It's a very strange thing. And so we cleared that up with HB 1407. That broadens the penal code to allow a handgun in a motor vehicle or watercraft to allow a holstered handgun to be kept in plain view regardless of whether or not it's holstered on the individual. In other words, you can have it in your holster and then set it in the seat next to you or in the pocket or whatever the console now. A few bills were approved by lawmakers that will expand the LTC program and clarify some parts in state code. House Bill 2675 requires the DPS to expedite carry applications for individuals who are at increased risk of becoming a victim of violence, that's the wording, and are protected under a court order. Similarly, writes Daniel Friend at the Texan, HB 918 expands license to carry program to allow applications from individuals who are 18 years or older, are under active protective court orders, and are otherwise eligible for the carry permit. The legislature approved House Bill 2112 and Senate Bill 550, which removes the specific language in state code that handguns must be worn in a shoulder or belt holster, which means now you can use any kind of holster you need. In other words, they have to be holstered, but you can use whatever type you need, which is good. HB 1069 creates a program by which first responders in more rural counties are permitted to carry a handgun while performing their duties. School marshals, we talked about this earlier this year, now have the expanded ability to carry the weapon on the job instead of stowing them, thanks to Senate Bill 741 and House Bill 781. Similarly, placing Second Amendment rights over private property rights, HB 4346 would prohibit restrictions of carrying firearms or alcohol on easement holders, and that's fair. While other legislation expanded the areas where individuals could carry handguns, HB 1920 expands a restricted location by amending the definition in state code of the secured area of an airport. Because right now, you can carry your firearm in the airport, just not past the TSA. The problem is, they said, employees, you have an operations area too, so they've just included the secured area to also include the operations area of an airport. That's important for employees and stuff of airlines. Limits on government regulation. With House Bill 2622, the state's declaring itself a Second Amendment sanctuary, the bill would prohibit state and local entities from enforcing certain types of potential, possible new federal firearm regulations that are not included in our state laws, such as background checks on private transfers or gun confiscation programs. House Bill 957 would exempt Texas-made suppressors from federal regulations surrounding noise-reducing accessories. Let's see. One of the few changes made to the Texas Disaster Act, the underpinning part of the state code that was used by Abbott to address the pandemic, was House Bill 1500, which removes the governor's ability in state code to regulate firearms during a disaster declaration. Good. Storage bills. Since firearms are still prohibited in certain government buildings, such as where their courts are in session, House Bill 29 was approved by the legislature to allow state agencies and political subdivisions to create lockers for visitors to temporarily store their handguns. Prior law, and then you got this deal on foster parent storage. The law had made them keep firearms and ammunition in separate locked locations, which of course means they can't effectively defend their own life or their foster children. And this lets them, the governor's already signed this bill, HB 1387. It lets them store the firearms and ammunition in the same locked location. One of the few bills supported by the gun control people that made it through the legislature was SB 162, which is a lie and try bill that creates a state jail felony. There's already federal penalties, but state penalty for knowingly lying on a federal firearm background check. Another of Lieutenant Governor Patrick's priority bills, SB 19, prohibits state agencies and political subdivisions from contracting with any business that discriminates against firearm businesses or organizations. This is incredibly important. This is how the left is taking our freedom away from us by putting pressure on companies, credit card issuers, insurance companies, banks, all kinds of things to not do business with people that, that do things they don't like or disagree with them. And this is a good bill. And receiving near unanimous support in both chambers, SB 313 exempted firearm safety equipment such as gun safes and trigger locks from the sales tax. And so that's kind of interesting. So now every safe you buy will probably be retrofitted with something called a gun holder so that they can be exempt from sales tax. Suits me. Now, the media won't let up. Another big story in the Dallas media, WFAA, zero training and zero background checks. That's a recipe for disaster. Law enforcement braces for permitless carry. Well, let me just tell you, their arguments are the same arguments they made about license to carry. Well, Robert, what do you mean? That zero background check? No, they made all the same arguments then, and they didn't care that required background checks. Let me give you an example. Dallas Police Association President Michael Mata told them that we have no idea who the good guy is. I heard time and time again the legislature say, well, the good guys are going to carry guns. Well, nobody wears a t-shirt that says I'm the good guy. Folks, this is the precise argument used in every state against concealed carry, that it would cause confusion amongst police in situations and cause a bunch of people to get killed that were innocent. It just hasn't happened. It is the exact argument. And that's their big argument here. And then you got a city council member, McKinney City Council member Frederick Frazier. He's been a lobbyist for law enforcement issues, and he and Mata testified against the bill. Frazier said he showed plenty of pictures of folks who shot up ceilings instead of targets. I guess he means at target ranges. Because they weren't trained properly to give lawmakers an idea what was coming. Okay, to try to tell them they're going to just start shooting everybody. Quote, there's no training. Those ceiling shooters are going to be the people carrying the gun. And where that bullet goes, who knows? Because there's been zero training and zero background checks. That's a recipe for disaster. Yeah, but those same people are already legal to have firearms in their vehicles, in their homes, and in their businesses without training. So has that not already been the case? No. See, it's an issue that doesn't exist because people already have guns by the millions and millions in Texas. And they're not doing this all the time, but say, oh, all of a sudden this will cause that. Bull. Says, and then Mata says the potential for violent confrontations in this is a recipe for disaster. The problem with this bill is there'll always be a gun involved. There'll always be a loaded weapon at every single scene. That's not true. That's not true at all. But this is the same argument they made before, that it puts everybody in danger. That's exactly the argument they used about concealed carry. It didn't work. It didn't pan out in any state. And he goes on saying, now you're going to, this MATA guy, the police guy, now you're going to walk through that parking lot before you get to the mall. I guarantee you, you're going to see some Billy Bob, or you're going to see Joan Jack, whoever, and they're going to have that Colt 1911 strapped on their right leg, and you got your kids with you. He said, you know what? Sounds like he's a bigot to me. Sounds exactly like he's a bigot. All these arguments. Oh, and Frazier said the bill was brought up under the cover of darkness. Really? You didn't hear this, and it wasn't talked about in the press the whole time? The same old worn-out disproven arguments from the anti-gun crowd. We'll be back in a moment on Pride on Texas.
More Texas political and news analysis without a management muzzle in a moment.
A Texas Aggie from the big country said he and his wife visited Dr. Sylvia Zuniga at dental care in Costa Rica, spent about $7,000 on the entire trip, and yet saved over $5,000. He asked, how could it be any better? Our Aggie friend and listener wrote, thank you for recommending Sylvia. Her work and service was what you said it would be, very good. It took me several months of listening to you and researching on the internet to finally decide to do it. So glad I did. He added that the dental work he had done would have been about $12,000 at home, and of course that wouldn't have come with a fun vacation in which he and his wife toured volcanoes, hot springs, a nature and wildlife park, a coffee farm, a central market, and took a riverboat ride, went ziplining, and dined at some nice restaurants. Learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a man so important, other talk show hosts listen to his show, even while they're on the air. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Governor Abbott's been out doing the press things, you know, signing bills, and he signed the ERCOT bill into law. And the grid protection, there's a big story in the AP. Texas governor says power grid fixed. Experts cite problems. Now, some of these experts, the things they cite are just because they're anti-energy. But it is amazing that Abbott's been this arrogant over this. He declared yesterday the new reforms, quote, fix all of the flaws. Quote, the legislature passed comprehensive reforms to fix all of the flaws that led to the power failure, Abbott said. He went on to add, bottom line is everything that needed to be done to fix the power grid in Texas, I guess, was done. Yeah. Well, folks, that's crazy. I mean, that's just extremely arrogant. I'm not criticizing the legislature. I think some of the proposed fixes maybe don't make sense right now, and some of the critics' arguments are silly, and I think they passed a decent bill in some ways, but it's not really a good bill. But to say all the problems have been fixed, you know, most of the problem and most of the big mistakes were made by the PUC that the governor appointed all three members of. And they were all three longtime Abbott insider staffer type friends. They all resigned now. And they fixed everything. He wants to get this swept away, folks. And look, for him, he's in good shape. It's usually about every 10 or 11 years we have one of these big crises. So he, you know, be off the political scene. But to say that it fixes all the problems, no way. Not even many of the legislators would tell you that, at least privately. But the governor did. Abbott, he's gone full arrogant on this one. Now, the center square, Bethany Blankley, had the best story on this. Governor Abbott signs ERCOT bills into law, consumers to see increased costs. That's right. That's what they did. Neither SB 2 or SB 3 provide economic relief for consumers, and you had the lieutenant governor and the governor, everybody out there saying what we did, you know, it's better, it'll help people. But the center square gets it right. Despite this claim, both the Senate and the House passed Patty's bill, HB 4492, which sacks consumers with industry debt. That's right, it's getting put on your shoulders, the opposite of what the Senate proposed originally. The bill allows retail electric providers and other companies to access low-interest loans to cover costs, which they would then pass on to consumers through rate increases over a period of several years instead of hiking bills all at once. No matter how you look at it, they put the costs on the backs of ratepayers, which may have been how it was going to work out anyway, ladies and gentlemen, but they did. And they're not talking about that, and the only story I've seen that makes that clear is this center square piece by Bethany Blankley. Good for her. Good job. The governor says they fixed all the problems. I don't really think even the insiders have said that. But I guess that's the way he wants to play it. By the way, his primary opponent's out. Where is that story? I got to find that story. Let me look for it here. Rattle, rattle, rattle. Here it is. Stop giving illegals our money. Huffines launches billboards across Texas. Candidate for governor Don Huffines unveiled billboards across the state promoting his campaign. They focus on his theme of bringing strong conservative leadership to Texas by closing the border, removing taxpayer subsidies to illegal aliens, and eliminating the property tax system once and for all. He's still on the... He said in part of his thing, our commitment to bring back actual Republican leadership to our states resonating with Texans who are excited to have a conservative alternative to Rhino Greg Abbott for the first time. Texans are tired of empty promises and excuses. You know, I think the governor played into Huffine's hands with this quote about, oh, we fixed everything, everything's done, and the fact that it's very easy to demonstrate that what he's bragging about shifted the costs onto ratepayers. That's simple enough to put together. You don't have to have any links, idea links. In other words, it's a 1-2-3 thing for political ads later on. And I think the governor erred in his arrogance over this ERCOT fix because I think they're going to run real easy. And just quote, they can quote from these places like the Center Square reporting that what they did was shift the burden onto ratepayers for the screw-ups of the PUC, leaving the price up so high, and the other screw-ups at ERCOT not listening to the weather forecasters better. By the way, Texas Democrats launch massive effort to register 2 million new voters by next year. Latinos, blacks are forefront of strategy, reporting WFAA. Okay, and that's important, and Republicans better be registering people too, no question. It's shocking how many people you go to church with, you're in organizations with who do not vote. You would be shocked. They may be registered, they don't vote. A lot of people aren't even registered, especially when they're moving here by the millions. There was a good little quote by Jay Pritchard in here, a veteran political consultant in Dallas, and I don't know Jay, but at least WFAA reached out to him and got a good quote, and he's right. He said registering new voters is certainly important, but it's not the biggest issue the party faces. The problem is consistent, talking about Democrats, the problem is consistent messaging, good candidates, and voter turnout. You know, when you register people who really don't know anything about what's going on in the world and only think we have an election every 4 years to elect some kind of king who's going to hand out freebies, getting them turned out's hard. In the turnout model, the Dems and Republicans have put a lot of work into that using social media, texting, and things like that. But turnout is the biggest thing. Of course, you got to get your base registered. And that's why the Democrats want all this drive-through voting and 24-hour stuff where they set it up only in heavily Democrat areas like they did in Harris County. And they want all that stuff because they've always had a turnout problem. Their registration stuff goes to people, mostly, who don't really care and don't know anything that's going on. And that's sort of the Democrat base. I mean, you got the activist leftists who are really engaged and involved. I admire that, even if they're wrong and stuff, at least they're actually involved and know stuff. But then their big base of people, you know, the Republican Party has a problem. Our base of people's busy raising families and going to work. And that's usually our single biggest problem at getting turnout, in smaller elections especially. People are busy. The Democrats have a problem that people don't even know what the hell any of it is going on. That's their part of their base. Well, the persecutors, as expected, of Ken Paxton, these two special prosecutors, these rich guys in Houston. I've told you over and over, Paxton's tried to get his day in court over and over and over and over. They have been the ones to stop it. The appeals court ruled against him, said he can have his trial at... By the way, I reported on that to you last week, the Dallas Morning News just doing it today. They said, no, his trial should be in his home county. It's a big county. It's not like you can't impanel a jury there, Collin County. But just as expected, the Texas Tribune piece, the lawyers prosecuting Paxton's fraud case, challenged the decision to move trial back to his home county, so now they're dragging it out more. Folks, they've never wanted this man to get his day in court. When some other folks, it's all a political persecution. When they tried it in the federal court, the whole damn thing got thrown out. And when it was originally announced, all the experts on this very matter of law said this was crazy, that this is, quote, a novel approach to the law or novel interpretation of the law. They want this case to continue and continue so this man has this over his head until they can destroy him. And it all comes from the rhino liberal wing of the party and Dan Branch and the Dallas Power crowd when he beat Dan Branch in the runoff handily for attorney general. Dan Branch was in the legislature. He's one of the the guys that bows to the puppet masters of the rich Bush Republicans and others in Dallas. And they've been after this man to destroy him. And there's more. There was another story the other day, and I said the constitutional amendment, I went over those. There was one that empowered something, I don't remember. And I said the state bar and stuff, these are political operations. And sure enough, Reform Austin, only people reporting this, saying the state bar of Texas originally declined to take action on a complaint from a bunch of Democrat Party activists who claimed the AG's petition to the Supreme Court to stop Biden's victory in the presidential race was frivolous and unethical. However, now they've reversed themselves now. They've joined in. They're going to try to use the state bar to go after his law license because he took a political position they don't like. This man is one persecuted guy, and when you're a full-throated conservative, that's what happens to you. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos, and stay cool out there.